It is Monday, July 26th. We are here in New Orleans at the Goodwill ceremony. Bonnie Bagley is running it. Say hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Sandy. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to say hi, Bonnie.
There you go. Yes. Yes. Okay. You will put it next to the speaker. Thank you. Okay, I've got my camera. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. Sounds good. Happy birthday, Ken. Happy birthday.
Yes, ma'am. Just put it anywhere up here. Okay, it should pick up good.
Hopefully somebody doesn't pick up and say, who lost this?
Yeah, they got
that's the next thing to worry about.
They're going to think it's a cell phone.
I'm Hello.
Now.
What's this?
That's my recorder.
I'm
Thank you. Are you going? Are you going? You won't be able to hear a thing back here.
Thank you. Thank you. Before we start this evening's activities, it is with much heartache that I ask you to join me in a moment of silence for Eileen and for all of our other members who have left us since our last meeting. Thank you very much. Tonight, we are going to have a tribute to Eileen later on in the program. There are remembrance cards on your table. If you have a special thought for Alan and his family, or a special funny story about Eileen, or anything you would like to say, please fill out the cards and these will be collected and given to Alan. For the Ossoffke family. I'd like to thank Ken Monzingo for producing the lovely program you see on the table. He put a lot of love and work into that. I would also like to thank Leslie Davis for the idea of the red wristband, which if you look, will say goodwill. We'd like you to all go out, wear these bands, in memory of Eileen and promote goodwill. Now, I welcome you to the Summer North American Goodwill Summer committee meeting. Every member of this group here is special to us. And as we meet in different districts throughout the year, we want to honor the local district's goodwill members. So if you are from District 10, would you please stand so we can tell you how happy we are to have you here. I know we're all spread out, so it's hard to see, but we'll do the best we can. We especially wish to welcome those Goodwill members attending their first Goodwill meeting. Would you please stand, introduce yourself, and tell us where you are from? Do we have anyone attending their Goodwill committee meeting for the first time? Welcome, John. Welcome, Larry. Do we have anyone else? I think most of us know John and Larry, and if we don't now, we certainly will by the end of this tournament. At every Goodwill meeting, it was Eileen's tradition that a person or persons who least expect us be acknowledged. These are people who have made contributions to the local unit, district, or area. At this time, I would like to introduce Bill Cook, our host, the District 10 Director, to come and tell us the selection. Bill?
Thank you very much, Bonnie. It's a real pleasure for me to recognize and present to you two people who have made a significant contribution to Bridge in our district and who have made people feel welcome at the tournaments and at the local clubs. And I'd like for them to come forward this time before I tell you a little bit about them. My selections this year are Larry and John Federico. But Larry was the chairman of the NADC here in New Orleans in 2003. And shortly thereafter, he got flooded out with Katrina and had to leave New Orleans and go to Baton Rouge for some period of time. He's now back here, but during that period of time, he never quit participating in Bridge. He was very active in Baton Rouge and certainly made people feel welcome there and was a person who was always friendly and contributed to what the Goodwill really stands for. And so we're glad to have him back in New Orleans, and he has been a real pillar here in the New Orleans Club of the Community 134. And of course, John has come along and picked up the baton and has been this year's NADC chairman here. And I think he's done a fantastic job of organizing this tournament, and I couldn't thank him enough for his contribution to Bridge in our district, and particularly here in New Orleans. He's a teacher, he's a very friendly guy, somebody that everybody respects and enjoys here. He is our district vice president of our district board, and say that my significant he and Larry both have made significant contributions to Bridge in our district, and I think it's appropriate that we honor him at this time.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, John. And thank you, Larry. Now, John has told me everything he knows he learned from Larry, and I think he learned quite well. We want to especially thank John for putting together such a winning committee for this tournament. I think we're all having a good time. We wish to thank the hotel and the hotel staff for all they have done for us. We also wish to thank our own ACDL staff. We wouldn't be what we are without them, and we appreciate them very much. I'd like a round of applause for that. Now I'd like to acknowledge some people who have made many contributions to our game. I'd like to acknowledge Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, who were made ACDL members of the year. I'd like to acknowledge newly inducted Hall of Fame member David Berkowitz, and the 10th recipient of the Sidney Lazar Sportsman Award, Roy Rutland. And I'd like to acknowledge three very special people as well, and when I call on them, they would please stand. We have three Goodwill members of the year here. This is a very special honor. We'll hear a little more about that right now. The National Goodwill Committee is accepting nominations for the 2011 Goodwill Member of the Year. This annual honor is bestowed upon an ACDL member who has continually exhibited unselfish dedication to the causes of good conduct and ethical behavior, and who has made contributions to Bridge, our games that we love, above and beyond the call of duty. Unit board members are invited to nominate outstanding members of their group communities. Nominations detailing the candidate's qualifications should be submitted in writing to ACDL no later than October 30th. And at this time, I would like to recognize three members who have made these contributions above and beyond the call of duty. Faye Keel, would you please stand? Faye Keel. Kay Osdahl. And last but certainly not least, we have a member of the District 10 Goodwill Committee. She is also the chair of the caddies here. She never quits. She's the energizer body. Jenny Sobiak, please stand. Neglected to recognize somebody I should, which is please forgive me. This is a very emotional time, and we really would like the focus to be on Eileen. So at this time, we're going to go on with that part of the program. So many words come to my mind when I think of Eileen Osofsky. First and foremost for me is heart. Eileen had a heart bigger than she was. She cared for everyone. She had the ability to be everybody's best friend, even if you had just met her. I tried to remember the first time I met Eileen, and I couldn't. I thought back and tried to put my finger on it. I couldn't. It had to be after 2003 when I was named a Goodwill Committee member. But it seems like I've always known her. That was the effect she had on people. She made you feel like you needed her always. She cared about you. She cared about me. She cared about everybody. We all have been blessed by having Eileen in our lives, and we can be very thankful for that. Eileen led the Goodwill Committee and the Bridge Community by her example. Always kind and gentle, thoughtful words, deeds, and gestures. She was so very proud of the accomplishments of all the ACBL members, and especially, most especially, for Goodwill members. She worked tirelessly to make our bank kinder and gentler, and succeeded more than she will ever, ever, ever know. Her successes will be a lasting legacy and tribute to her. It was one of her goals that every district had a Goodwill Committee. Bridge Goodwill was her driving passion. She aimed for that when she first became a Goodwill chairman 25 years ago. This is still a work in progress, but we are making progress. I am so grateful that because of Eileen, that my district, District 17, at our last board meeting, established a Goodwill Committee. And we hope that other districts will follow suit. And eventually, Eileen's goal of a Goodwill Committee in every district will be realized. At this time, I would like Richard DiMartino, our ACBL president, to come forward.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I have the distinct privilege of being the one who gets to tell you about an action that the Board of Directors took this past week, and by a vote of 25 to nothing. We voted that this committee, from this point on, will be known as the Aaron Nosowski Goodwill Committee. A vote of 25 to nothing. It was just, I'm not even sure who made the motion, but whatever it was approved very quickly. I probably knew Eileen a little less than some of you, and I know we have several people who are going to say some very positive things, but I, on behalf of the board and all of the other members, want to just say a couple words. One is, she is absolutely clearly in the affinity with going for the ACBL. I didn't know her well, and I know what an incredible effect she had on people, and you can see it every time you came, and we have her to be thankful for that. She acted exactly the way she wanted other people to act. She created goodwill. The people who get on the Goodwill Committee in my district feel very proud of it, so it's just wonderful. I believe that she's going to be very difficult to replace, but on behalf of everyone here, I want to thank her family, and we wish that we all can go to the table tonight and every other time and remember to spread goodwill, because she surely did it, she will surely be a good one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rich. Now, with Jay Baum, ACBL CEO, please come forward.
Good evening. Normally at this meeting, I insist that I can only introduce me. I didn't want to speak. But tonight I do want to speak. I know that most of you knew Eileen, and I can tell you that she knew all of you, because if you came through the door, she asked you the same question she asked me every time she saw me. Which is where you're pinned. It got to the point I was afraid to leave my room if I didn't know my kid. But that is what one of the little things that I think I really treasured about Eileen. I'm going to kind of get off of the things she did for the ACB Elm Bridge, because everyone knows how great that was. We had a little tradition that every Sunday night before this meeting, we would go out to dinner. And as Eileen was prone to do, we always argued about who's going to pay for it. And normally, it got difficult, but I usually insisted it had to be me, and sometimes I won, sometimes I lost. But I can tell you she was more than just a cheerleader for me. She was my mentor about a number of things. Primarily, who couldn't sit next to who at the Goodwill Committee because they had an affair with. At any rate, she knew. And she shared it with me, and I'm not going to share it all with you. I don't know how the Goodwill Committee meeting is going to go going forward, but. Not that there were that many, I think only about 130 this year. I do have to tell you that Eileen's love for bridge, I think, was exceeded by her love for children, and not just her own. She had this little thing which I found to be incredible when someone had a baby. And some of you know this, not a lot. She always had a little bathrobe with her name and brother on the back, since the time. And my daughter had a baby about a year ago, and got one of these, and she went. And this was after she had received a wedding present from Eileen, who she, I think, met once or twice, but that's just the way Eileen was. She was, probably to a fault, Alan probably, Mike probably didn't pay attention either, but she was a lover not just of kids and grandkids, but she was a lover of life. And she had a quality that not a lot of people had, and she did this to me every time I was with her. She made me feel like I was one of the most important people in the world. And I'm not sure how she did it, but she just had that thing. And we're all going to miss her terribly, but what I'm going to miss the most is that little thing. I miss her.
Thank you, Jay. Now, as you know, Eileen was a member of District 24 and Unit 155. Her heart and membership belong there. But she did live half the year in Phoenix, which happens to be District 17. And I'd like to ask one of her very good friends from District 17 and Phoenix, who came to this meeting just to speak to us and tell us what Eileen meant to her and to Phoenix and to District 17. Leslie Davis.
Eileen and I became friends at Denver National 5 years ago. We discovered that we were on the same plane back to Phoenix, and we decided that we'd travel together. Well, the journey was memorable. It started at the very busy Denver airport when she had to go to check-in. I saw this elegant little lady on the floor repacking her suitcase.
her bag is overweight and she doesn't want to pay the extra charge. The journey back went very quickly. Eileen described what she really cared about, the people and the causes. And by the time I got home to Phoenix, I was hooked. I immediately was put to work by our lovely Eileen. Spending the winters in Phoenix, it wasn't hard to know why everybody loved her. She could never do enough. She was honored a couple of years ago, and this is non-group related, at two very important events in Phoenix that I was able to go to. The one was the Jewish Federation, and the other was the Jewish National Fund. These were both huge events, and they were celebrating Eileen and the wonderful contributions she had made. I thought it was only Bridge, but, and these were only a couple of the many, many things and causes that Eileen was involved in. She was so humble and seldom mentioned her accomplishments. In the Phoenix Grid world, Eileen was loved and respected. She always wanted to know what is going on and how can she help. When I was tournament chair, it was Eileen who would be one of the first volunteers, and she would always be there to help. Mind you, we had to say no. At the end of one tournament, I found her holding up the bridge table. And we put our foot down for that. Playing bridge with her was a kick. We'd always get to the games early in a teeny little red sports car with a lovely number plate that she had. But it was very hard to get her to the table on time because she was so busy talking to everybody and then to her, and they wanted to know what was going on. Typically, Eileen, when we heard that she was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, but we phoned to congratulate her, Eileen's response, "Yes, but it's not because I'm a good bridge player." Our response, "Who cares? The Hall of Fame is the Hall of Fame no matter how you got there." And we would have to practice with her to just be able to say thank you without trying to downplay this amazing honor that she had. In Phoenix, we were so proud of our superstar. The Queen of Goodwill was our Hall of Famer in bridge and in life. And so this past February, we decided to have a party to celebrate her. We could do it by e-bike, so I had to get the names of the different people who we could invite to make sure that everybody was included. She reluctantly gave me the names because she kept saying, "Oh no, they'll be busy and nobody will be able to come, and you know, we can't ask them to come," and that type of thing. Well, nobody wanted to miss this event. Everybody wanted to be there, and everybody wanted to contribute. The spread bought by all of her friends was absolutely delicious, and the smile on her face was very, very precious. Over the past year, Eileen often spoke about her legacy, the goodwill of Bridge. She knew she was ill, and her urgency to establish goodwill on a more local level became clearly apparent. She had a wonderful mother's day. Not only was she surrounded and wished by her children and her grandchildren and those who loved her, but one of her best gifts, she told me, was hearing that one of the districts had created their own goodwill committee. And as Bonnie said, we got ours in June, and we let her know that as well. Following her death, Bonnie and I received a very touching email from her son, Aaron, and I would just like to share a personal part. Ellen said, "Her legacy will be the good work we all continue to do. She would not want you to be sad, but instead, take that energy to celebrate life and all the things you have to be thankful for. We will miss her, but her love will always be with us, which is good, because there will never be another one like her." And yes, we absolutely agree with you, Ellen, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that goodwill flourishes. And to you and Deirdre and all your family, thank you so much for sharing her with us. Thank you, Leslie. Now, we'd like to hear from Gail Greenberg from her Heart District, District 24. Sitting here both today and 3 weeks ago at the other Memorial Fitness Rally, and listening to the moving words by all those who spoke before me, I am in awe of the impact this remarkable lady had upon all those whose lives she touched. The respect, and in the case of her family and closest friends, the love that enveloped her is beyond amazing. So what can I possibly add that has not already been said as well or probably better by others? Perhaps all that is left for me is to try to convey what it was about Eileen that made her so very special to me. That singular trait was her true selflessness. She had no hidden agenda. She was not motivated by ego. She was never self-serving. Quite to the contrary, as she performed her acts of kindness and generosity, she downplayed them. She left it to us to figure it out and notice. And notice it, we did. Though it may sound trite, Eileen was the closest thing to an angel any of us will ever meet. Now, being from the presence of, quote, an angel, could be tiresome and boring, and also have the effect of making those around her feel inferior. That was never the case with Eileen. It was side by side with the pure goodness she exuded, with a marvelous sense of humor, a twinkle in the eye, a great smile, and above all, an ability to laugh at herself and her own foibles. Whenever you had a conversation with Eileen, it always turned out that it was never about Eileen. She always made you feel it was all about you. If I would chat with Eileen and tell her something, it could have been the most mundane piece of news. She would listen attentively. And then I can still hear her respond in that unmistakable voice of hers. Is that right? Can't you hear her? Those three words, spoken just as she said them, conveyed that she got her message and that she was so delighted you shared it with her. Is that right? Eileen, now it's time for me to answer that question. Yes. It was right, because you were there to make it right. And sadly, without you, now it's our responsibility and your legacy to try to continue to make it right in your life. What an example you set. Thank you, my very special friend. Thank you very much, Dale. And I thank you all for speaking. Now we have a very special person who will miss Eileen more than any of us. And we are honored that he is able to come and speak with us. Alan Ostrowski.
Quite a long trip for me to come here. I was coming from the 14th floor and it took about 45 minutes to get there. Before I start, I want to clarify something. Yeah. Leslie, the reason that my mother was repacking her luggage so that she didn't have to pay the overage for the baggage Okay, she just spent all the money taking Jay out to dinner. I want to thank you all who made it here today to remember and celebrate my mother, Eileen Ossofsky. No words that I could write could do adequate justice to my mother or ease the significant sadness that engulfs us in today. But be not sad, for my mother had a rich and full life surrounded by love and lessons. Her great loves were her family, friends, charity work, and bridge. I share her love for bridge. And since we're the Nationals, I think it's only fitting that the story starts here. My mother was an avid and excellent games player who had limitless energy. She began playing bridge some 45 years ago, but it wasn't until her dear friend Joyce Goldman, who was seriously ill with cancer, needed a partner for the local syndicate, that my mother began playing every day. Joyce was a fine player, but was subject to lapses due to the medication she was taking, which at times led to poor results. My mother, being the person she was, just smiled and said it was fine, that it was just good they could be together out playing. Joyce, being the lady that she was, never mentioned to my mother how she was mangling the dummy. Joyce subsequently passed away, and to honor Joyce's memory, my mother did two things. She became actively involved in the Chemotherapy Foundation and began taking bridge lessons. And she had the best teachers, Gail Greenberg, Judy Becker, Judy Radin, and Alan Sundberg. The season was going strongly. She became a proficient hitter and defender, but as I previously alluded to, not a great player. In fact, her dear friend and frequent partner, Judy Tucker, was so disgusted about a no-trump hand my mother had just misplayed that she forbid her from responding one no-trump. If Judy opened one of a minor. As luck would have it, on the very next hand, my mother picked up a nondescript 3325 K-gel and heard Judy open a diamond. So she went into the tank. She couldn't respond to Major. Dr. Bishy ended up in a Moise intake, or a 3-3 intake. She couldn't hit two clubs because that was forced into game, and she was forbidden from hitting a no-show. So she thought for some time, and then she came up with what she thought was an elegant solution. She upgraded the dial of her hand and hit two no-show. Judy was so shocked, all she could do was to burst out laughing. Shortly after that incident, and out of the blue, she was asked to be the goodwill chairperson for the ACBF. Quite an accomplishment, because she'd not even been on the committee. She had no idea what the job entailed, and initially, she thought it was her obligation to go from table to table, presenting her opponents with thoughts. This created goodwill for her opponents, but frustrated her partners, me in particular. Eventually, she got the hang of the job and was so well admired that the ACBL Board of Governors would not let her know when she was up for re-election, for fear she would step down. So she served for 25 years, presiding over 75 consecutive national goodwill meetings. I once asked her what she felt was the secret to her success. She thought for a moment and modestly replied, "It must be the free food." But recently she wrote, "When I got the call 25 years ago asking me to become the chair of the National Goodwill Committee, I had no idea how profound and positive an impact the organization and its members would have on my life. I have been very lucky and moved over the last 25 years to see many worthwhile ACBL projects brought to fruition, such as the introduction of bidding boxes to the heart of hearing, the inclusion of more youth players into our goodwill efforts, and I've had the significant privilege of honoring the members of our community who make it so warm and welcoming. Meanwhile, I have marveled at the spunky, creative younger volunteers speaking up with new ideas. And I've been constantly humbled by the amazing work done in support for Goodwill, demonstrated by the ACL board, and especially the Bulletin staff. How proud you shall be, all be, of remembering that Bruce is more than a challenging game. It is a social experience. And we are more than a vibrant international community. We are a rich family. And for my mother, it was all about family. And she wasn't just talking about blood relatives. To her, it was bigger than that. To her, family was about all the people you chose to let into your life and support. And my mother had a big family, and you were all part of it. My mother's final tournament was Reno this past March. It was there she started to fade quickly. She lacked the indefatigable quality that we had come to know from her. She needed a cart to get around, rested more than I can ever remember, and had no appetite. That did not stop, however, from chairing her precious Goodwill meeting, which, as usual, went off flawlessly. She stayed a few extra days so that she could be flown to the Hall of Fame, a rare and worthy honor she received last July for her contributions to the game of bridge. She is one of only 100 or so members. Her cancer, CLL to be precise, which she had been carrying with her for 6.5 years, started to transform, and the prognosis was not good. She dealt the fight with all the strength she had, and although she was never really in pain, the complications stemming from the cancer were too pervasive and insidious to overcome. On June 20th, I arrived at the hospital at 6 a.m. to be with my mom. I was, after all, her favorite. I should be. She was resting, but smiled when I arrived. We'd already said everything that needed to be said in the weeks before, so I went over our no-film structure, and she had and she asked me where my sister was, which I found a little strange, because I know the notes better than my sister. She doesn't even play bridge. My sister, who had been spending the past couple of nights sleeping in the hospital, quickly came over. I learned then, maybe I wasn't so much a favorite. And that was a great gift of my mother's. She always made whoever was with her at that moment feel as if they were her favorite. The cancer was now out of control, and when the doctors came in later that day, she asked for an honest appraisal of her chances. They tried to paint the hopeful picture, but even in her weakened state, she saw through them. At that point, because she did not want to be a burden to those she loved, and because she now knew there was no hope, she requested that they stop medical treatment. It was a totally selfless act, the essence of how my mother lived her life. We stayed by her side as they unhooked the monitors and the medicine. Later the next evening, as we held her hand, her breath slowly faded away. Then there was a bolt of lightning, and the skies opened and cracked, and my mother was gone. The outpouring of emotion from the community was immediate, plentiful, and comforting. In Ken Monzingo, he wrote, "Eileen, first off, I want to thank you for the nice words you said about me. Coming from you, that makes me feel important. Second, I wanted you to know that I successfully organized the District 22 Goodwill Committee, copied from the formula you have set up for us nationally. My people are very happy. Last, I want you to know that we all love you. You have meant so much to me in my life, I can never repay you for your friendship and care." From a director of a charity organization my mother was involved with in Phoenix, who wrote, "Eileen was a tireless and devoted supporter. She always seemed to have more energy than those half her age. I always looked forward to spending time with Eileen, who could be counted on to be clear, direct, and always gracious in sharing her thoughts and hopes for our foundation and the community. She was willing to be helpful in any way she could whenever she was called upon. Our foundation and our community are lessened for her loss, but immeasurably better for the many contributions during her long life of communal service." And from a dear friend, Zeke Jabor, who wrote, "We have lost one of our dearest friends, and Bridge has lost a priceless treasure. Her legacy of love and goodwill may in the end be the salvation of Bridge. I'm thankful we recognize this in time to place her in the Hall of Fame. the game she loved so much while she could still save it. She was an angel long before she got to heaven. Personally, I would like to thank all of you who wrote cards and letters of encouragement to my mother during these final months. It meant a lot to her. I want to thank Al Levy and District 24 and its members for all the support they gave to my mother. I want to thank Bonnie Bagley and Leslie Davis, two women who my mother cared about deeply, and the rest of District 27's members who over the years showed my mother a great deal of love and support. And three other people must get singled out. Joan Girard, Barbara Noodleman, and Jay Bowden, who were not only her great friends, but her staunchest supporters. She wrote to Jay Bowden days before she passed, "I've had the great fortune of being honored for my work with the Goodwill Committee. Induction into the Hall of Fame was an honor I could not have imagined in my wildest dreams. But I have been truly honored just to have known and worked with you all. Though I've often been thanked, the time has come for me to thank you. I feel inexpressibly fortunate for having been able to work with such a talented, creative, and caring group of people over the last quarter century. If I had enriched the ACBL in any way, I must tell you that the ACBL has truly enriched my life. For that, I must express my heartfelt gratitude. With love to all, Eileen." I guess the best way we can honor her legacy is by continuing to do her good work, to be compassionate, caring, and supportive of the rich community. And Carol King penned these words, but they could just as easily have been my mother's. "You've got to get up each morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. See you in Orlando."
Thank you, Alan, and thank all of you for speaking your heart and your thoughts. We appreciate your taking the time to come here. And I would like to close this meeting with a quote from Maya Angelou. "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. And Eileen made us all feel special and loved. And we will always love and miss her. So let's go out there, wear our red wristbands, and create goodwill for Eileen. Thank you very much."
That's the end of the story.